Welcome to Canadian Politique. I'm Cameron Bishop.
I'm Leanne Goodman.
I'm Mike McDougall.
Today on the show, 2019, it's just around the corner, so I guess we need to talk about the new forum poll that shows the Conservatives would win a majority government if an election were held today. And I also want to tackle the topic of Cyntoia Brown, a rape victim who has been sentenced to 51 years in prison for killing her rapist. But first, did everybody check out the funeral of number 41, President George H.W. Bush?
Nope.
Oh, well, Mike.
I watched
even in death, couldn't give him a little bit of a love.
I watched the highlights because I love that, you know, everyone in that row where the Trumps finally arrived, you could see were filled with loathing. And even W, like, comes in, sort of gives Trump and Melania a very perfunctory greeting and then hands a candy to Michelle Obama again, right?
They're such like buds, just, eh?
They're total buds, and I just love that you could see that Trump was fuming about it, like that the Bushes and the Obamas are friendly and that he was the odd man out. Like, he was literally even physically the odd man out. Like, even Melania was sort of chuckling a bit and making eye contact with people. And what he only shook the hands of Michelle and Obama and ignored the Clintons.
I know. Michelle looked like she was ready to split open a vein when she saw him. She can't stand him.
No, and she's out with a book saying that he's put my family in danger, right? So there's just so much bad blood among all of them. But, like, it just galls me that he would be giving the Clintons the cold shoulder. Like, excuse me? You've been chanting lock her up about a woman who's done nothing.
That's right.
Of any crime for years, and you're snubbing them.
Yeah, and then
he's just a baby.
And then Dan Quayle, George H.W. Bush's vice president, over his shoulder, like, giving him the death stare. And then there's, like, another picture of Quayle, like, staring daggers into Trump. And then Cheney's, like, scowling down at him, too. I'll take him, hunting.
Yeah, no, even
that's
Cheney.
What he's thinking. Yeah, like, Cheney looks pissed.
Like, when even Cheney, the man who lacks a beating heart, like...
He really did. For a while, he really did.
He's got like a machine in his chest that causes his heart to beat. even he, the heartless Dick Cheney, looked like he wanted to, you know, shank Trump.
And you know what? When you've pissed off Dick Cheney, you do not want to go hunting with that man. Like, why don't you go out quail shooting there, Donald, with Dick. I'm sure it would end quite well. But I will say, lovely service. I think it was very, very fitting. Trump's pissed, apparently, because he didn't get a big spotlight because all the ceremony was on the Bush family and President George H.W. Bush, which, of course, you know, why should a man?
I want to jump into that for a second, though. I saw that headline where they said, oh, Trump was upset because, you know, he wanted the ceremony to end because it wasn't about him. Those are like bullshit headlines that take away from any criticism that you have about Trump. Because honestly, unless Trump physically said, oh, I wish this was about me, which there's no way he did. That's just a stupid clickbait headline that means nothing and there's nothing behind it. So let's stop.
Like, there is no evidence in the stories that... Was there no evidence in the stories that anonymous sources?
Axios said that he had been miserable all week, and apparently it was because he was upset that there was all this ceremony going on that was not about him.
Or maybe he's upset because he's about to get indicted. Like, maybe he has other things.
Exactly.
No, but this is what I mean. Story that they threw out. Some intern wrote it. They threw it out so that people could laugh. Ha, 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 ha. But why I hate those kinds of stories is I'm not trying to defend Trump. It's just that when you put those stories out there, people read it and immediately can dismiss it. Be like, this is stupid. And that takes away from other stories that are more serious, right? So let's, like, there's enough Trump material out there to not have to write those stories.
Amen. And see, Mike, this is why we're glad you're back. Because if it was just left to Leanne and I, we'd be tearing Trump a new asshole every single week. But you bring us that perspective that only comes from being an InfoWars listener.
Well, you know, only one of us defends the Bushes, so I guess I'll be the one that defends bad journalism.
Well, I would just like to say, though, at least from my side, I'm very sorry at the loss of President George H.W. Bush. Lovely service. My condolences to the Bush family and also to the all the former presidents and first ladies who had to sit in proximity to Donald Trump. And I can't wait for his funeral. That'll be a celebration, the likes of which we will have never seen. Okay, so let's talk about something. So 2019, just around the corner. If you haven't done your Christmas shopping yet, I suggest you do that. But so there's a new poll out by Forum that says that if an election were held today, 43% said they would vote conservatives, while 34% would cast a liberal ballot. Yes, and it's easy to see why the conservatives would be in the lead, you know, with a 5.6% unemployment rate, more full-time jobs being created faster than under the last 10 years of Stephen Harper, real wages rising at the fastest pace in nearly 10 years, including the biggest monetary gains going to the low and middle income of Canadians. Yes, we're at an unemployment rate, 40-year low, more people working than ever before, and yet Andrew Scheer and the conservatives, according to this poll, are in the lead. Now, this is Forum, which is routinely wrong. Interestingly, when you dig down into the data, it says that more than half of the NDP, Bloc Québécois, and Green Party voters believe Canada is better off now than it was 4 years ago. They claim, or Lauren Bosnikoff claims in this article, that this latest poll number is because of the fact that people are still pissed off about the prime minister's trip to India, as well as the fact that the prime minister said that he would donate $50 million of taxpayer money to an education charity, an international education charity, even though that was announced during the G7. But why should facts matter? And he also claims that it was also the prime minister making the claim that the budget will balance himself, which he's never done while he's been in office. I believe that was done in 2013 or 2014 when he was not Liberal leader. What gives? Are That's we staring? Right. I've asked this before. Are we staring down the barrel of Andrew Scheer? And I will just preface this by just saying that actually there has been some good commentary. Lauren Nystrom, who's a former NDP MP from Saskatchewan, said that the Forum poll was basically crap. Another person on Twitter said the Forum poll is not new information. The Toronto Sun article states the Forum poll was conducted November 28th and 29th before the CBC poll that was released on December 4th. They said you can't go from a liberal majority to a conservative majority in just a few days. And then another Twitter follower says, if you dig deep in numbers, they polled only 462 people age 18 to 45, yet older people age 46 to 65 and over, they tend to vote conservative. They polled almost 1,000. That's a 536 difference in people who lean conservative. In fact, for those over 65, they polled 409 people, which of course they all tend to lean conservative. And if you look at the poll tracker, Eric Grenier's poll tracker on CBC, based on weighted federal averages of December the 4th, the Liberals would win with 195 votes. So is a Forum poll, 195 seats rather. Conservatives right. won 20, NDP 20, Greens 1, Bloc Québécois 2. So I don't know. Is the Forum poll an outlier? Is Andrew Scheer really 9 points more popular and his party 9 points more popular than the Liberals?
Trudeau's getting hit pretty hard lately. That Ottawa Citizen article that came out earlier in the week, I remember the reporter's last name is McDougall. That's why it stuck out to me. But he wrote that article about Trudeau being the divider. And I've seen this on a few. I've got some weird people on Facebook that like to post. They're like, you know, they
like all of our listeners or all of our followers on that.
Not our listeners, all of our Facebook friends.
Yeah.
This kind of theme of Trudeau the divider starting to come up. And I'm wondering if this is going to be like kind of the conservative approach to the election, this whole, you know, Trudeau's splitting apart Canadian identity and he's, you know, instead of unity, it's division. And I've seen that theme over the last week. So I think what we might be seeing, the poll could be an outlier, but I think we might be seeing the conservative, like their approach to the election, which, you know, both sides are gearing up for a war. They've said that this is going to be a nasty one. And it looks like, you know, maybe the conservatives are dipping their toe in the water on Trudeau, you know, dividing the country, and then Scheer could come in and unify it. Like that might be what they're going to do. And in that case, they're starting it now. I think that it's way too early to listen to polls, but I don't think it's a slam dunk either for the Liberals. They're going to have a fight. And, you know, we're starting to catch a glimpse of what that fight's going to look like.
Leanne?
You know, I never entirely trust polls. You have to look very closely at the methodology and how many people were polled, and I just look at how many recent elections they've been all wrong, right? So I never entirely trust them. And I think Mike's right. It's way too early to even be thinking about it. I think he got a bit of a bump from the free trade deal, right? I think that helped him. And I just can't believe that people could like Scheer. But I really fear, and we've discussed this before, that they're gonna stoke up all the border crossing fear, right? Because even liberal-leaning Canadians think we have a problem at the border.
Which we don't.
Which depresses me. Which we don't. But we, just like any other country in the world, we fear the other. We can pretend that we don't, but we do. And so I don't know how it's going to go. I can't imagine Andrew Scheer running a good campaign either. I don't think he's
going to. Well, he can't even run his office.
Right? Like, you heard how panic-stricken he got about, there was a story a couple weeks ago, remember, when he was responding and he was all panic-stricken. What was it again? Oh, Tony Clement. Right? Like, even in when he's in the glare of the media spotlight, he completely can't handle it. So what's it going to be like on the campaign trail? I think going to be terrible.
Sorry, I just wanted to jump in real quick, too. Also, yep. Erroneously, Albertans are all up in arms about Trudeau because they... No. And we know that it's bullshit. But now, because they're up in arms, and frankly, the Liberals aren't mobilized yet because it's too early to kind of push back on any of that kind of bullshit. So really, there's only one side screaming right now. It'll start... The Liberals will get going soon. I mean, the Albertans will tire themselves out and they'll... You know, and again, no disrespect to Alberta, but you're wrong on Trudeau's role in the pipeline. You're just wrong on it. And that's fine. And this will come out. Hopefully you'll get the right information. But right now, you're wrong. You're being loud. I see, like, I'm from the East Coast, so half my high school graduating class lives in Alberta now. And like they're all trying to protest like Lush Cosmetics right now. I don't know what they're doing. But they'll tire themselves out and it'll be fine. But right now, the anti-Trudeau people, they're loud, and the Trudeau people are not. They're worrying about Christmas. So
here's my question. So, well, no, it's not even so much of a question as a statement. So the Hill Times today ran an article about, you know, how bad everything is in Alberta for the Liberals. And Stephen Carter, who he's a political strategist from Alberta. I really have a lot of time for him. He worked on the campaigns of Calgary Mayor Naheed Nenshi, as well as former Alberta Premier Alison Redford. And he says in there, Alberta is angry. It is as angry as I have ever seen it. And it's hard for an incumbent party when the population is this angry. If I were to give a message to the Grand Party, I'd say, you've got to take it really seriously because people are super angry. Like, I've never seen this much anger here. Again, to Mike's point, how are they not taking it seriously, Alberta? They bought a pipeline for $4.5 billion. The Federal Court of Appeal in August quashed the approval of the pipeline expansion and said that the government, the federal government, previous and current, Harper and Trudeau, failed to properly consult First Nations on the project. So they've begun the consultation process to get it built, and they put the project on hold. The Prime Minister said this week, after the Premier of Alberta, Rachel Notley, in Ottawa on November 28th, asked them to partner on purchasing rail cars to ship an additional 120,000 barrels of oil a day. Prime Minister said this past week that he was open to helping the provinces out. He says, quote, that's something we're happy to look at. If that's a proposal that the Premier thinks is going to make a significant difference, then we're happy to look how it works. I mean, we're there to be a partner and to help. Then, of course, you've got other facts. I mean, who needs facts, though, when opinions are like assholes and everybody has one? But since taking office, because it needs to be said to our good listeners in Calgary and Edmonton and across Alberta, since taking office in 2015, the Liberals have provided support to Alberta, quote, in the form of $250 million to offset the impact of low oil prices, $1 billion to support small and medium-sized Alberta businesses, $30 million to enable Alberta to clean up orphaned wells, $1.3 billion to extend EI benefits to laid-off energy sector workers in time of need. They've given billions in infrastructure funding, and also they bought a fucking pipeline for you. And they want to get it built.
Albertans, right. And if it makes Albertans feel any better because they hate you know, central Canadians and Torontonians in particular. There are people who are pissed off that we're doing so much for Alberta. So
yeah,
if that's a measure that the Liberals are on your side, take it, because there are a lot of people in central Ontario and Toronto and the GTA who are like, why the fuck are we giving so much money to Alberta for a pipeline when we're trying to get away from fossil fuels? So stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Alberta. You've got a government that's more attuned to your needs than the rest of Canada, and you're always bitching that that's never happened. So,
well, and let me just say one thing I will join them in bitching about, though, is that last week at the first minister's meeting in Montreal, the prime minister met with all the premiers and the territorial leaders, and Quebec's the new premier of New Brunswick, Blaine Higgs, said that he wanted to revive Energy East, which would make a pipeline go east so that it could be done up in, the oil could be refined, and then it would open up our markets. Of course, the Quebec premier says that there's no social license, he said, for a pipeline in Quebec. And then he promptly drove home, where he heated his home with oil and cooked his food. But then today in the Hill Times as well, Quebec to receive $1.4 billion equalization boost while oil producing provinces face deficits. Well, great news. So Alberta, Saskatchewan, Newfoundland and Labrador, they continue to be left out of the equalization formula because they actually have provinces. They're facing deficits and hard times. Quebec, with a $3 billion surplus, is getting $1.4 billion. Well, they shit all over Alberta's oil. This is where I don't blame people for being pissed off. If you're an Albertan, you continually feed the cow and it gets shit out the other end of the country all the time. And Quebec sits there, regardless of governments. It doesn't fucking matter if it's the PQ or the Liberal government in Quebec or the fucking CAC, aptly named. But, you know, they just, this continuous idea that Alberta has to feed the rest of the country. And what do they get? Nothing. So on that score, I can kind of understand it, though I still go back to my original point, which is they bought a fucking pipeline for you, Alberta. They bought you a pipeline. They want to build it. They just can't do it until the consult is done, according to the Federal Court of Appeal. It's easy.
Yep.
And I also want to say one other thing before we move on, and that is to Mike's point and to Leanne's point about the conservatives and their filleting of the racist base in Canada. There was a great editorial in the Toronto Star this week, this past week on Friday, called Andrew Scheer's Conservatives Are Taking a Worrisome Turn on Migrants. And of course, there is this thing that the United Nations, a document that the United Nations and countries around the world that are part of the United Nations will be signing at a conference this week in Morocco, and it's called the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration. It is a non-legally binding cooperative framework. It explicitly states that participating nations would be free to continue to set their own immigration policies, but Andrew Scheer stands up in the House of Commons last week and said that this document gives, quote, influence over Canada's immigration system to foreign entities, and it would, quote, open the door to foreign bureaucrats telling Canada how to manage our borders. This, of course, is Andrew Scheer running far to the right as he possibly can to try and blunt the momentum, such as it is, from Maxime Bernier, who's his old leadership rival, from the same party that brought us the Barbaric Cultural Practices Hotline in the 2015 election. Now there they are, along with, you know, populist, right-wing populist countries like Poland, Hungary, Czech Republic, and Australia, which is run by a liberal coalition and supported as well by the National Party in Australia. All of them anti-migrant and trying to gin it up. And it's probably, if you're a visible minority in Canada and you're thinking of voting or a new Canadian conservative, give your head a serious shake, or at least go and smack it against a wall and then try and shake it again. I don't understand how people, generally speaking, good people, middle of the road Canadians who are swing voters, could ever think about voting conservative if that's the kind of bile that they traffic in.
Okay.
All right. So let's move on to rape. Leanne apparently finds rape funny today. Which is...
Jesus, Leanne. Unbelievable, Leanne.
Segue.
It is an interesting segue.
All right, let's move on to rape.
Yeah, no. But let's move on to rape. We've gone to bigoted conservatives, so now we're going to move on to something really gross out of Tennessee. So the Tennessee Supreme Court on Thursday, so Thursday, I guess that would be the 6th of December, ruled that Cyntoia Brown, who was 16 years old when she killed a man who raped her, has to serve 51 years in prison before being eligible for release. The article goes on to say that Brown and other defendants who have been convicted, and this is what the five-justice court said, those who have been convicted of first-degree murder after July 1st, 1995 and sentenced to life in prison can't become eligible for release until they serve more than 5 decades in prison. Yeah, this case has caught the attention of Rihanna and Kim Kardashian. So Brown, the victim.
That's where we are now, that Rihanna and Kim Kardashian have to raise awareness. About
well, but Kim Kardashian is a big, you know, advocate for prison reform.
Well, she actually got that one woman out.
Yeah. So Brown says that she shot and killed her victim, a 43-year-old man. Remember, this is when she's 16. This man is 27 years older than her. Johnny Mitchell Allen. She tried to resist his advances. She believed he was reaching for a gun, so she took a gun out of her purse and shot and killed this rapist. So she's been in prison for 14 years now, so she's 30. She was sentenced to life in 2004. And it was a unanimous ruling against this formerly 16-year-old rape victim. And now she is going to rot away into prison until she's 81 years old, all because she defended herself while she was being raped. Leanne, how do you feel about the justice system in Tennessee?
Well, let's recall that kid, that swim star, that swimming champion, Brock Turner, served 3 months for raping an unconscious woman.
That's right, yeah.
Because serving jail time might have ruined his life.
That's right.
Well, this woman is serving 51 years in prison for killing her rapist.
That's right.
But, okay, everyone, please tell me more about how white male privilege is a myth. I'm sorry. The kid from the good family who was a really good swimmer and had a whole brilliant, bright future in front of him who raped somebody who was passed out drunk.
Yeah.
And was discovered doing it.
That's
and
right.
I think the father even held up some sort of excuse. Well, you know, she was passed out, so, you know, what's the big deal? And her victim impact statement was unbelievable. That kid is out.
That's
and
right.
This woman is now going to jail for 51 years. And I'll tell you this other interesting case that I only know about because there was a story on The Conversation about how blowflies helped exonerate this woman. But there was a woman in the States who was, you know, sentenced to life in prison. She may have even been on death row. She was charged and convicted of murder based on nothing except that she had been raped and while being raped had tried to chop, you know, had a penknife and tried to chop the guy's dick off.
Yeah.
So they find this guy, this homeless guy, brutally murdered in 2001 in a trash area behind the Las Vegas Strip. He'd been stabbed and slashed. His rectum had been cut open and his penis cut off. They went after this woman because while she was being raped, she took a swing at the rapist's dick and convicted her.
Come on.
That was the only evidence that they had. There's no DNA tying her to him. She had an airtight alibi. And the only reason she got exonerated is because of blowflies. There have been no blowfly eggs found on the body, which meant that he was killed at night because they only come out during the day. So they got this Canadian forensic, you know, scientist to testify. Well, in fact, he couldn't have died when you say he died. And this is when her alibi was airtight and she was exonerated because of this. But it was a fascinating story because of the whole blowfly element. But the fact of the matter is they convicted a woman and sentenced her to death row because while being raped, she took a slash at her rapist's penis. And that was enough for them to decide what must have been her. Must have been her who chopped a homeless man's penis off and left him to die.
Well, so, you know, who would have blamed her, first of all? She chopped the homeless guy's dick off if he raped her,
well,
which he did.
Well, it wasn't even him. It was a totally different guy.
Oh, was it? Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
It was like the MO fit. No, it was just that, well, let's look up somebody else who's tried to chop someone's penis off. Oh, this woman, while she was being raped? Well, therefore, she must have killed this guy. Wow.
Lots of serial killers who are former rape victim or who are rape victims go around with penknives hacking off the genitalia of homeless vagrants.
Unbelievable. But, yeah, like, It's an infuriating story. And I imagine now with all the media attention that somehow, you know, it'll get overturned, but who knows?
Well, there is a moveon.org petition that has over 500,000 signatures demanding something. Mike, what do you think? White male privilege. You're a white male. So am I. I know I don't feel very privileged when I hear this kind of crap. I feel very privileged when I hear this kind of crap, not because I would go and do it, but because it certainly reinforces how far society still has to come to close the gap in terms of what justice looks like.
I mean, Leanne said it very well. I don't have a lot to add to it, but you know, aside from white privilege, it's also a socioeconomical thing too, right? Like, if you have money, justice system in America is different. So when you look at Brock Turner, you know, his parents had a ton of money. He was able to get off because they were able to afford good lawyers that were able to nitpick the system, where this poor girl, what is she now, 26 years old now?
No, she's 30. She's 30.
She's 30? Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think she has a lot of money, right? She's had a tough life, and she's probably, you know, bottom of the barrel defense, and, you know, the law in America, and Canada is the same way, but our laws are a bit more, I find in Canada, our laws tend to have a little bit more leeway to them. Like in America, they have these, and I'm not a lawyer, so, you know, take this with a grain of salt, but there's certain things in America that you have to do, like with mandatory minimum sentencing, and this one too, in Tennessee, she's not allowed the rule is you have to serve 5 decades. So that, you know, they're basically just saying, well, this is the rule. This is how it's written down.
Right.
So they're kind of passing the buck on that. They're kind of saying, hey, this isn't my job. Like, I'm just doing what I'm told, red tape, you know? Brock Turner got off because I forget that other guy. Who's that guy? This wasn't a rape case. It was a drunk driving case where they claimed
in Toronto, do you mean in Canada?
No, he pled guilty. I'm talking about in the States, and he ended up back in jail because they escaped to Mexico, but they claimed that he was too spoiled.
He'd been too spoiled.
Right. Yeah. So the defense was that he was too spoiled, so he didn't know the action,
the
like that his actions had consequences,
wrong.
And they got him off. And now he's back in jail because he skipped parole because he jumped to Mexico with his mom. It's a huge, funny story.
Yeah.
But
it's a great
money,
story. The spoiled brat, affluenza. It was
affluenza, that's right.
The spoiled brat defense.
I'm not suggesting there's not white privilege in this case. There is, but I see it personally, and maybe it's because I am white and I have privilege, but I see this more as a socioeconomical situation than a race issue.
Sure.
I don't think they're looking at this girl as a woman.
The 1% are vast. Right, but the people who can afford those lawyers are, the vast majority of them are white and privileged.
Fair enough. I mean,
right?
we'll
kind
talk
of the
about,
same thing.
But when we talk about the divide in the States about money versus no money, I mean, friggin' Kanye West and Kim Kardashian hired a private firefighting team to save their house during the wildfires in California. So this is what privilege looks like when you have money. I mean, half of California burns down and this asshole hires his own. Why weren't those firefighters anyways, I'm really
digressing. So maybe it isn't white privilege. Maybe it's wealth privilege.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly is, but you can't escape the fact that the vast majority of wealthy people are white, right?
100%.
They're connected.
100%.
There's a connection.
Yep. No, that's
totally
fair.
There's not a lot of Kanyes in the world.
And thank God for that.
Anyway.
That guy's crazier than
a
shithouse rat.
I miss normal Kanye when he was still on his meds. Like, I can't give up on Kanye.
Now he's all about Make America Great Again. And you think it's a problem because love the Bushes?
Nobody.
Yeah, but I don't want to hear you say
that, right? He went back on his meds and he rescinded some of it. He's bipolar. He went off his meds. Anyway, I want him to come back. I still remember the George Bush
hates black
people.
Oh, yeah, that was a low point.
And Mike Myers' look of complete horror.
You know, I gave back my donation to the Red Cross when I heard that. I called and I said,
"Oh, Jesus.
If you're going to put that kind of crap on your telethon, not interested." I did
bullshit.
That for you, Mr. I swear to you, I did it. I actually.
Pixar didn't happen.
What?
Pixar didn't happen.
What do you mean Pixar didn't happen? I was sitting in my living room in my apartment.
You weren't mad at Bush even
no.
then? No. Like, not terrible.
I think
Katrina
he. It's not his fault. It's
oh
not
God.
His
Don't
fault.
Do it. Don't do it, Cam.
That
Don't
Ray Nagin, the mayor of New Orleans, left a bunch of school buses parked in the parking lots, and the governor at the time, if you'll all recall, did not want the president to bring in the National Guard. In fact, when the president was there on Air Force One, he brought Nagin and Kathleen Blanco, who was the governor, onto the plane and said, let me bring in the National Guard, and she would not give him permission. Could things have been done better? Absolutely.
Brownie.
Okay,
Brownie.
Yeah, heck of a job, Brownie.
A
low point. But you know something?
It was a hell of a low point.
It was a hell of a lot better than Puerto Rico, which we've got 3,500 people fucking dead. Far.
Yeah, but are you? You're basically saying he's not as bad as Trump? Is that your argument?
No, but I think we need in the benefit of time provides a lot of perspective, I agree with you. I am probably the lone progressive in many, many, many homes around the world who think President Bush was great. I do think that he obviously fucked up big time with Katrina, but there is a multi-layers to this story, and to say that it's 100% on him, I think, is irresponsible. I really do.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, stories of the week. Can I just get in one plug? Because I really want to before we go to story of the week. I want to just say one, and it's about this Cyntoia Brown, this victim, the rape victim who is now serving 51 years in prison. I'd like everybody out there, and I know, Mike, I promise I'm not going to go into a rant on this, but for everybody out there who thinks that the biggest problem this Christmas is Baby It's Cold Outside victimizing women when they don't understand the song, or that 78 years ago it was a different society and all the messages in there, you think that's a bigger problem than a 16-year-old girl going to prison for the rest of her life for killing a rapist, you better get yourself some fucking perspective. Don't call yourself a progressive while some girl is rotting in prison because she tried to defend herself, because you're so up in arms about a fucking Christmas carol. So.
Well, they're not really connected, but okay.
I kind of think they are. I'm going to.
Wow.
Listen,
like,
anybody that's upset about Baby It's Cold Outside, shut the fuck up. Seriously.
I agree. That is the point I will agree with.
It is a beautiful song.
No, it's a bad song. But
why
also,
is it a bad song?
Because it's just not a good song. There's no war on Christmas. There's the who cares about Starbucks. Like, stop being outraged. Nobody is telling you that you can't celebrate Christmas. Seriously, go away and stop. Like, just stop. Like, go back to your anti-Trudeau memes. And I'd rather see your uneducated, ignorant anti-Trudeau memes than your stupid idiot sitting behind the wheel of his pickup truck with a cell phone. Let me tell you my views on war on Christmas. Nobody fucking cares. Go back to the gym. Seriously, go back to Good Life with your little Good Life bag and your protein shake and shut the fuck up.
Wow.
That is.
We're also grumpy in this season of goodwill toward men.
Yeah,
men.
Mike.
Toward men.
I have feelings about this.
Yes, I think we all should, but you're right. There is, I agree with you. And I think I said it. I don't believe there's a war on Christmas. I mean, thank God, because of Donald Trump, we can say it again. Just kidding. That was a joke. But I do find it ridiculous when we start putting people. This is why liberals are always viewed as humorless, dumb fucks who need to get over it, because you don't pick your battles. A girl's rotting away in fucking prison. No problem. That's shitty. But what's even shittier is a 78-year-old song.
But who's saying that? You're making a false argument there. Who is saying the Christmas carol is worse than the woman sitting rotting in prison?
I am inferring. That is what I am doing. I am inferring.
Here's my only issue about that song.
Okay.
It gives the Me Too movement a bad name. Like, if you, like, I know
Agreed.
People are on the fence about Me Too. They think it's going too far. It's too, oh, Kevin Spacey, really? Yes, Kevin Spacey. Oh, and then something like that happens, and it shines a stupid spotlight, right? It makes it all look stupid, and it's not stupid, right? The Me Too movement has made tremendous...
It trivializes.
It brought about tremendous change, and then some idiot decides the Baby It's Cold Outside is rapey, and the whole movement looks stupid then. That's my only issue. What is the story of the week, by the way? I don't even know.
I don't know.
You didn't tell us.
I don't... Because
maybe
the whole point...
Maybe we don't have one.
We don't have one.
There's nothing happened this week. Stupid week.
You know what? It was a really kind of crappy week. I mean, Michael Cohen has been recommended for, you know, life in prison. Trump is continues
4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years.
Not life in prison. Like four years.
Yeah. No. But the Special District of New York recommended in their report that he face a substantial prison term.
But substantial for that crime is 4 years.
I thought that was federal.
No, it's
not
four,
at the
no.
state level. Oh, okay.
Two, well, three, four.
Fine. Still four is a pretty long time.
It is a long time, and he's not getting a pardon. But Trump is like ramping up the ramping up the hysteria. This man is, I think Carl Bernstein from Woodward and Bernstein said that this is, we're getting into the deepest parts of Watergate in terms of Nixon's paranoia. And he said, you need to subtract 50 points from Trump's IQ and add Twitter. And that's where we're at today with Trump and this scandal.
Which that's pretty funny.
It's fucking terrifying is what it is. I mean, this guy, somebody else said today that they think that because they think Pence is going to be indicted too, possibly. And somebody said that he'll resign 10 minutes after, or sorry, that he'll wait until right before Pence resigns, or I don't know. There's some shit about how if Pence gets sworn in, Pence will resign 10 minutes later, just long enough to pardon Trump. I mean, it's a fucking clusterfuck. But hey, on the bright side, well, folks, if both of them resign after the second week of January, it'll be President Pelosi.
Is that how it works? There's some debate about whether it will be Pelosi. I don't even understand
it
anymore.
Yeah, it's the third. But yeah, it's the third would be Pelosi.
The Speaker of the House.
Would be the fact that John Kelly's gone, and he promised John Kelly that he could announce it on his own terms, and then, of course, told the reporters on the South Lawn as he's getting into the helicopter. And then the story was that it's going to be Mike Pence's chief of staff, this guy named...
Nick Ayers.
Yes, who looks like Ken from Mad Men. And I find it very odd that he suddenly said he didn't want it. So you do wonder if something shit's coming down with Pence, too.
Oh, I'd love
He's going home to Georgia just to hang out with his family. You get offered, you go
Mother,
from
what do I do?
Chief staff to the vice president. Yeah, mom. Chief
Mother
staff
should...
to the vice president. You get offered and wooed to become chief of staff to the president of the United States, and you decide over the weekend, actually, you know what? I think I'm just going to go home to Georgia right now. So there's stuff going down.
I hope
so. It's going to be great.
I don't know if anybody's familiar before we wrap up today. I don't know if anybody knows that before, speaking of Mother, Mother Pence, you know, her big... She actually had a business when she was first lady of Indiana, and Mike, of course, was governor, and she made towel rings, like different colored towel rings. And like,
because everybody needs multiple colored towel rings.
And you would be able to clip them on your towel and then hang them on the bar. Apparently it wasn't very successful, but she did make an effort at making towel rings. So Karen, if you're listening, Karen Pence. Mm-hmm. Make some towel rings for Mike because he's going to need them in the can.
Hey, I got something
here
that's
Karen,
breaking.
If you're listening,
yeah,
you're a fucking idiot. Towel rings are the worst business idea I've ever fucking heard. Good
speaking
one,
of
Karen.
Business,
okay,
speaking of business,
okay,
I just want to jump in before we close. It just broke that China has banned the iPhone.
Oh.
So
really?
Trump's great dinner with Xi Jinping about how the trade war is not going to escalate has taken a turn.
Well, when you go and arrest the CEO of Huawei, that's going to happen. Although, I actually think to myself, I'd rather not have Huawei in Canada. Thanks very much. And I would never be buying any of their products. No fucking way. Like, you put it in your house, the next thing you know, Xi Jinping's like sending you like... private conversations you've had with your family. Like, it's, I would not go in there at all. I can't believe that we even would allow their products in here. But then that's a whole other issue.
So it is.
Well, Mike sounds very irritated as we're wrapping up.
I'm not irritated.
Okay.
We've all been a bit cranky. Maybe the pressure of the holiday season is upon us as we're getting our Christmas shopping done. Perhaps that's what it is.
Baby, it's cold outside.
But I'm just delighted that Mike is with us again this week because I felt a void.
I did
painful
too.
Void in my life when he wasn't on.
Mike, it's no fun when you're not here. I know you're a father and you have responsibilities, but I just want you to know you've got a family here that loves you.
Well,
you
that's
do,
great,
Mike.
Good stuff.
Okay, last thing from me today before we wrap up is that next week is our final show of 2018. So next Monday is our final show of 2018. Send in your questions either on the Facebook page or at cdnpolitique@gmail.com. Or you can write us on Twitter, of course. But send them in and we will answer your questions next week. And until then...
Can I just ask, has there been a single question yet?
Actually, yes. There's been six.
Oh, good.
Are they all from the same person that I'm thinking of?
No. No, they're not, actually. It's actually a diverse crowd. It's a diverse crowd. I mean, six is pretty good.
Is anybody asking if they would date me? Is anyone asking to date me?
No, but if you want, we'll put up your Tinder profile and we can see what happens.
I don't have a Tinder profile.
Okay.
Okay, goodbye, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. Oh, no, not Happy New Year.
Oh, wait, not Merry Christmas. Happy Holiday.
No, Merry Christmas. We can say it again. Thanks to Trump. Have a good week, everybody.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.